You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Period.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black Girl tea. My name is Lauren.
And my name is McKean, and thank you guys for tuning into today's episode. Happy August.
Happy August, end of the summer. This one went by quick.
Let's not talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it.
It's been like 4 days since July. Like,
that's true.
I swear to God.
So true. And we're halfway through August.
Yeah. There's 4 months left in the year.
I know, you gotta start work soon. Let's not wrap it up. Anyway.
It's not what we're here to talk about today.
No. But for today, we're going to be having an episode about imposter syndrome. I think this is something that we've talked about in a couple of different episodes. I think it comes up every now and then just because it's such a, like, a normal feeling, I think, especially, one, like, when you're entering young adulthood and at this age, but also there's in a lot of the circles that we've been in, like the academic spheres, you know, like professional ones, spheres. Yeah. LinkedIn is a horrible, horrible place.
LinkedIn is the breeding ground for it all.
That's true. So we just wanted to have like a candid conversation about all of that, just get into our experiences, just unpack where it comes from as well. I think people don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, lots to get into, lots to unpack. Of course, first we have our Read the Room, and we have a big topic today.
We do have a big topic.
We could record the whole episode about it, but we won't.
We won't.
Beyonce has come.
She has come. We have to talk about what the Read the Room is first.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry, got ahead of myself.
Mickey was so excited to talk about Beyonce.
Anyways.
We've just been waiting. It's like right at the top.
Literally.
Of the agenda. Let's go.
Okay, the Read the Room, in case you're new here, in case you forgot, that's how we start off all of our episodes. We talk about some pop culture. We talk about some tea, some personal tea, some personal tea for y'all, some Twitter tea. And today we're talking about Beyonce's tea.
Absolutely.
And
it's not lemonade this time.
Exactly. It's not lemonade. It's something even better. It's vodka on the rocks. I don't know. It's like champagne.
It's giving martini. It's giving
Cosmo.
Like, it is giving Cosmo. Yeah. It's giving like 90s. Like there's a lot of cocaine. We're in like a dark, like a New York club, but they're like voguing.
Yes.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Giving.
So it's Renaissance, giving. If you didn't know somehow, which if you're listening to this podcast and haven't listened to Renaissance, pause us.
Pause.
You've got more important things to do.
Is this the space for you?
Right, like,
all the girlies are listening to Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance is here.
It is.
And changed my life.
Where do we even begin? Well, let's give a general review.
So on July
29th. Okay. Period.
Beyonce arrived and changed the world.
Absolutely.
She gave us some advance to prepare ourselves this time. She dropped, I don't even remember how many songs, it's like an hour and 2 minute listen, and it's incredible. Like, there's three really solid sections, you know, there's
Absolutely.
No skips, and
Absolutely.
It's like...
The transitions, also, it's like a cohesive work of art, you know what
it
I mean?
It really is.
Like, people I saw were tweeting about the transitions before I, like, went all the way through, but there's just something about...
It's a project.
It's like a project.
It is
it's like
a
body of work. Even like the word Renaissance. One, the girlies can't spell Renaissance.
They
and
can't
I love
spell
that.
Renaissance.
They
and
can't.
I'm the girls.
I am also the girls. Me writing this, I was a child. Beating me up. But it's just, I don't know. There's something like in terms of the culture as well about like house music as well.
It's
like
having a moment.
It is having a moment. The dance. The girls just want to dance.
Yeah.
I think the girls want to
have fun.
Literally. Break my soul. Also, Beyonce being like, leave your job. I'm like, period. We're going to the
club.
Yes.
Literally. Question is, not only what your present favorite song is, but also what was your first favorite?
Interesting. I think I had the same first
favorite. Wow, I've never met anyone like
really?
You.
Well, let me think again. I really like Cuff It. I'm a Cuff It girl through and through.
Okay, no shade, no tea.
You don't
know. No, I love Cuff It.
Okay.
I saw a tweet yesterday night that had me dead. And it was like, if Cuff It is your favorite song, it's past your bedtime. Like, go to bed.
No, because that's so true. No, because that's so true, because I don't be in the club. And I like plastic off the sofa, too. You know what I mean? I saw something the other day that was just like plastic off the sofa.
The grown woman babes.
I know. But I have other ones, too. But I love the transition from Cuff It into Energy. I think it gives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
What else do I like? I don't like Church Girl. That's a hot take. I don't like Church Girl.
Okay. Truth be told, Church Girl took a minute to resonate with me.
Okay.
Like, I didn't fully... When I first listened to it, it wasn't my fave, like all the other girls. But now, like last night, I was listening to it at 3 a.m. And
really?
If you see my text to myself, I wrote a whole article. Like,
stop.
I wrote a whole article. It was like, okay, here's the thoughts flowing. Like, I was just like, she's talking about, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. She's like, the club can be church. Mm. You can be your own church. Okay. Like, she's doing God's work. She's going in. Okay. What a bar. Like, that's what? The like, she's joys. Trying her best. She like, is. And that's her praise and that's her worship. And that is so beautiful. Like, drop it like a thotty on a gospel song.
Period.
I just feel like, wow.
Period. That's
I can't wait for the academics to get to that one. Like, that's true. I want to see all
we
the
need, like, a whole, like, just literature. Yeah. It's just this.
Yeah. Absolutely. But your it's still face. Not my fave. My first fave was Plastic Off the Sofa.
That's good.
Slash Virgo's Groove.
Okay.
Now, it's either Move. Move has grown on me a lot.
Move also has
especially
grown
when on I me. Learned that one. I learned that it was Thames on there. I couldn't hear her before, like before they like mentioned it on the title, and that she got a Grace Jones feature, and it's not a sample.
It's not.
Grace Jones like came out of retirement basically to be on this album. Like that's so powerful, and I love it for Thames. Like I feel like it's such a legacy song. Like three generations. Like. Move out the way. How many times I gotta say? How many times?
That's true. That's
and then
so
the
true.
Switch up, she's like,
It's good.
I haven't listened for the day yet, if you can't tell. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might need to listen. On the way home, I'm gonna
just,
give it.
You know, the walk, the way my posture improves when I put
no,
it on.
No, but truly. I saw like a TikTok too of like a workout routine as well.
Yes,
I
the treadmill.
Just be like me in the streets.
I'd be walking through the subway like.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Indian superstar, I just unique.
Yes, unique.
That has been like odd repeat in my head.
Oh my
head.
God! Have you seen all the tweets about like Jay-Z having writing credits on that song?
That's so funny.
And everyone is like, imagine him saying, "What was the line people were saying, making fun of him for?"
I don't know. Which is the one where she's like, "If that's your man, then why is he over here?"
It's the outro of. Is it Virgo's Groove? Yeah.
Okay.
I think
Whoa.
So.
No.
Yeah, anywho, yeah.
There's a lot.
It must be your money because it's not your face.
Oh, that was the line?
Child, no, that's another line that's crazy, too.
Why would she say that?
It must be the cash because it ain't your face.
She was, no, she was going Barbara. Speaking of that, though, Beyonce was in her messy
my
era.
My favorite, like, era of her. She's growling, she's rapping, she's giving us vocals. She also, like, had so many Prince references, so many Michael Jackson gems. Like,
that's
I just
true.
Think it was so beautiful. But anyways.
It was a work of art.
It was really
a work of art.
Incredible.
There was, do we want to talk about the Milkshake Kellis drama? I mean, we don't really need to get into it, actually.
If
but
we
I,
want. Like,
Beyonce was just like, I don't want none of that.
It's funny, yeah, Khalees, if anyone doesn't know, Khalees
is
tight.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Kellis.
Oh my gosh.
The whole time. Which shows what I know.
Anyways. Khalees, who was a legend in her own right, who has pioneered a lot, she was mad and dropped it before the night before the album dropped, she goes on, like, IG Live, and she's complaining about how, like, she's been featured on Renaissance, but not credited, because she doesn't own the masters to the song, and Pharrell does, and the Neptunes do. So, ultimately, she, like, I guess her beef is with Pharrell, but she also was picking a bone with Beyonce, and she was like, oh, like, as a woman, you sing about girl power, like, why didn't you reach out to me? I saw a few tweets that are, like, it's just not customary. Like, if you don't own the song and I don't often need your permission to use it, like, I'm not reaching out to you. But still, Beyonce did put in the credits, like, as performed by Khalees. So, like, that was even doing her a favor. But ultimately, Beyonce, I guess, after the Khalees rants, took that little sample out.
Just took
it. It was, like,
out.
A 0.2 seconds long. It wasn't even a sample. It was an interpolation. Like, you couldn't even hear that it was Khalees on it. And, like, literally just removed it from the song and was like, okay, whatever. Like, I tried.
Beyonce? I love that energy.
For real.
Anyway, child.
She said, move out the way.
That's so true.
How many times?
You're gonna make me listen to that song.
Move.
I can't believe they said the Cuff It Girls is past your bedtime. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so right about me.
It literally said,
anyway.
If Cuff It is your favorite song on Renaissance,
I need to
you
to-
don't need to be at the club. You need to go to be in the bed.
That's so true.
But that's cute.
That's cute. You know, it's unread. Anyway, there's another thing that we need to talk about. This is big news. For those of you who don't know, or haven't, like, read the Vogue article about it as well, Serena Williams is retiring from tennis.
I honestly can't believe it. What a run.
I can't.
Our whole lives.
That is true.
Number one.
Yeah.
Every year, like,
Every
while
year.
Pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Just reading the article, the things that she's just accomplished. First of all, it was so beautiful, I think, to have her, like, be so adamant about leaving on her own terms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was like, this is in my own words, like, I'm the one who's telling you,
mm-hmm.
like, this isn't getting leaked. And it was so beautifully written, and it was so
honest. And it was a first person article for a platform like Vogue. Like, it was a personal essay. It wasn't an interview. It wasn't, like, in conversation with another celebrity. Like, She wrote that. And it was beautiful, that. Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And I think just the way that she, like, talked about her career, you know what I mean? Because we've seen, like, the media, like, eat Serena alive, like, from the get-go. And,
forever.
And, like, the King Richard movie just came out, and I didn't watch it. Because I was just like...
You gotta watch it. It's good.
I got it. It's good.
It's very good.
But I... You know what I mean? Like, knowing that legacy, though, as well. Mm-hmm. And, like, even, like, her being in Venus's shadow, I didn't really know that because I hadn't seen the movie.
Yeah.
And just all of her come-up story, but how she's just reckoned with, like, being such... like a superstar, but also so human.
Yeah,
at the same time, and
absolutely.
People forget that humanity.
They forget it easy,
so quick.
And I also feel like it's such a mic drop moment for her to like leave with tennis in the state that it is right now. Like I feel like women's tennis has more clout than men's does
absolutely.
These days. And the only people that have really beaten her in recent history are young Black girls who started playing tennis because of her.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
How
Naomi,
powerful.
That is so
like
bad.
That's Naomi,
like
what's her name? Corey.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget her name. She's like 15, a Black girl. Like
oh, I've seen
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm forgetting
yes,
her name
yes.
at the moment. She like just graduated high school or something.
So
like
nice.
I just am like, what?
That's such a
I'm
dude.
So happy
Black
for
girls
her.
Tennis.
But it also is a shame, like some of the things she said about like why she's quitting like she said there was a line in that article where she was basically like if I was a man I wouldn't quit like my wife would be at home having the kids and like I could just come and play but like I don't have that luxury and it did put a lot I feel like that is something that rings true beyond the her
so
career
true.
And like athletics like
yeah
it's really you she can't have it all
no
and even as much as she tried like
no.
even though she won while pregnant before
exactly.
like that's not an easy feat, but I'm also really excited to see her. Like, I feel like one thing that I love about the Williams sisters is that, like, they have so many passions that they've pursued. Like, Venus has an interior design company. They both went to fashion school while they've been playing tennis. Like, I just am so excited for her next. I feel like it'll be a very artistic chapter. Like, I don't know what she'll do. Like, I think she'll do something creative. Like,
she says she's in her girl boss era. Mm. She's in her, like, venture capital.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, right. She also did get into NFTs.
She's in the NFTs. Anyway, we'll
yeah.
let her rock.
Don't look at the profile.
Cha 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 cha. Anywho, but I love Serena.
Yeah,
and
shout out Serena. We love you.
Shout out Serena, we love you. And
I wish I had all the accolades right now because, like, she's won, like,
she's
dozens of grand slams. Like,
That was part of the article, too. The last thing that we're going to say is that there was basically, she called it like a fan fantasy that she would, like, tie the record number of 24 because she had 23 and then she lost and then she would like as she was accepting like quitting that would be like
the whole
narrative or whatever and she was like that would have been beautiful that's just not
what I want to do
or not even what you want to do but just like how things
worked
like,
out
work out and she just like it was so much grace but she like recognizing her own accomplishments and like there was a direct quote where she was just like I've won 23 though and that's fine and she was like actually that's exceptional
it
and
is.
Then she's like reckoning with that and I was like
oh, that's cool
you,
to read her too.
You should read the Vogue article
absolutely
beautiful
even though the photos are we're tired of Annalie Boots or but anyways
that's fair we'll swift through a lot I think we can get into this episode
we've talked enough
we've read the room
has been read
absolutely let's get into imposter syndrome I think we should start by defining it I think this is something that we've said a lot I think everyone knows the feeling but the term how would you define it
I feel like imposter syndrome is doubting your abilities or like the validity that you exist in a space that you have successfully entered whether it's like you've applied to college and you get to college and you're like damn I'm not smart enough to be here or like you are applying to a job and you are in the interview and you are lacking your skills even though you have all of the qualifications so I think it's like it's the creeping into your mind of like believing the stereotypes that have been said about you and your capabilities and like really sort of honing those as your own beliefs about yourself that hold us back a little too often.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. It is just like that, the creeping feeling is a great way to describe it. It's just this like feeling of like self-doubt, of like inadequacy, and you're right, that's such a big part of it, is that you prove to yourself like time and time again that you like deserve to be in those spaces. Like your accomplishments, they speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've made it into that room like on some merit of your own. So it really is just... it's like discounting all that you've like done to get to that point. But for some reason, it's still just such
it's a real
common feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, I feel like I've grappled with just for a long time. And we wanted in this episode to really get into like what those like driving like forces are that motivated. But I even think since like high school, maybe like especially when you're younger, I think it's easy to be impressionable and, like you said, like, believe stereotypes mm-hmm. about you, especially if there is no, like, representation of people yeah. who look like you.
Or like, someone in those to remind you of, like, yeah. who you are and what you're capable of, definitely. Like, I think I definitely experienced it a lot when I was younger, mm-hmm. more than now. Like, in the middle school yeah. era where, you know, anyone can tell me any given thing about myself and I'll, like, run with it.
It's like, oh, that's true. A fact. You're just like, that is right. me. Right.
I think I've, thank God to my parents, you know, I love shouting them out. Like, yeah. I feel like they're the only reasons that I'm like, okay, forget that. That and, like, also coming, being face to face with the people who are quote unquote supposed to be in any given room mm-hmm. and being disappointed.
And always being disappointed.
But yeah, we can get into it all. We've talked about this a bit before, but I do feel like we should talk about like where it comes from.
Absolutely.
Like, how does it show up? What, not only personally, but like who is telling us these things? Like, yeah. what are the reason? Like, what is the reason? Why do we have this thing? Why are we grappling with it every day? Why do so many people struggle with it? And why does it hold so many people back? You know?
I think the most important thing to ground this in as well, and I think I saw either an article or a tweet about this the other day, is just, like, what's the difference between, like, calling something, like, imposter syndrome, which I think puts a lot of the onus, mm-hmm. like, on the individual, like, oh, you doubt yourself,
right,
or, like,
right.
you do this, versus being, like, this is literally the social reality of, like, the space that you are existing mm-hmm. in, like, you go to this white school,
right.
you are, like, in, even, like, me thinking about, like, my white programs mm-hmm. that I was in, I'm, like, of course I don't be like I belong in like this environmental
yeah.
movement. I'm like, there's not a single environmental, like, you know what I mean, environmentalist
mm-hmm.
that I'm seeing like on this big global stage
that
to looks
tell you
like
that you're
me.
In the right place,
or like
yeah.
tell me that I'm in the right place, or like show me that it's
possible
to a certain
mm-hmm.
degree. And like, of course that like shouldn't creep up into it and affect your capacities, especially when you're saying like you see again those people
mm-hmm.
who are in your classes. Like, I got to Columbia
right.
being like, cool, the pinnacle of like
intellectualism. Right.
Like, the way they brand themselves is like, we're the intellectual
curiosity.
I'm like, no.
I didn't get asked no good
there
questions.
There were no good questions. Everyone's trying to play devil's advocate. No one actually wants to
not
read.
Not a single original
no
thought.
No one wants to think.
Not a single original thought. But
yeah. It's just, but there's something about, I think, that environment of like privilege as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
I think, or just like being in spaces with like white men. Where, like, the privilege starts from the fact that
right.
you are a white man.
But, I mean, naturally, like, what
mm-hmm.
we're saying is, like, think about it. They have so many instances in which they're affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And their existence in that room is affirmed from the names that are on the buildings.
Yeah.
To the professors that we encountered.
Mm-hmm.
To the deans. To the president of the college.
To their parents.
To the past years. Like, the fact
mm-hmm.
that, like, it's something that I actively thought about in college all of the time. That, like, the first generation of black students, like, multiple black students, was, like, our parents' age.
Yeah.
You know? Before that, like, obviously, you know, they had one or two per class, but, like, black people couldn't even be a legacy student until really our generation, because there just weren't here. Like,
yeah.
women weren't allowed at Columbia, and, like, these are still things that affect, like, the actual experience on the campus, even though they're no longer true.
Yeah.
And those are thoughts that would never cross Chad or Brad's mind, you know? It's like, my
dad
went here, my grandpa went here, like, shoot, my uncle might have been a founding father, like,
yeah.
I know my blood all the way back, like, there's a
yeah.
lot of validity that comes from the knowledge of your people's past,
yeah.
and I think maybe that's also an element, at least at school, of just, you know, the validity of just, like, I know that people like me made this.
Yeah.
Like, an ownership that is granted to
in
not only a validity
spaces.
To be there, but it's
yeah.
like, this is mine.
Yeah.
You know?
There's, like, an entitlement, too. Like,
yeah.
the ownership of it is so, so real.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, in school environment, but definitely professional
mm-hmm.
spaces, too. I'm like, especially if, like, your daddy is hiring you, but also just, like, generations and generations of people who just, like, look like you.
Right.
Like, this archetype that of an individual
right.
that you fit into just, like, exists in
right.
this space is so consistent.
And you would think that imposter syndrome should be something more for those people to reckon with.
Exactly. We've
talked
about this.
Yeah, because,
yeah.
like, don't you feel a type of way that, like, I got here because I did the extracurriculars and you got here because your daddy donated $1 billion, like,
and made a phone call. You know what I mean?
Don't you feel the type of way? Like, don't you feel like you have to prove yourself?
Exactly, but they don't. And that's what this is why this feeling is so interesting. I'm like,
it's
they
so weird.
Really feel like they belong, even though they know that they had to, like, do less work,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get into
yeah.
those spaces. But they revel in that. And it's just
right.
the entitlement of, like, I don't know, like, the privilege that comes from just
yeah.
who they exist
and,
as socially.
And we'll even go as far as to shame you for not
yeah.
having got here for, like,
those connections
yeah.
and those generations. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyways, I do think there's power in, like, making the jump from, like, these are not insecurities that I have, mm-hmm. but rather, like, these are not things that are true about me. Like, I can think of a specific example. Like, in middle school, I entered middle school loving math.
Yeah.
I loved math. Like, I loved doing algebra. It was weird. Like, I really loved math and science. And, like, I had one bad math teacher that, like, would always disregard my questions and, like, always convince me that I was doing things wrong. And, like, by the end of that year, I was like, I hate math. I'm not good at it. Like,
yeah.
And I'm still to this day, since then, I've always been like, I'm terrible at math. And, like, I will run from talking about it, having to do it. And, like, she fully convinced me that I wasn't capable of it. But, like, if you remind yourself that these are not things that are true about me, but rather things that I've been, people are actively trying to convince me of.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes on them. Like, it becomes their problem. But it's not that easy.
It is not that easy.
If only it was.
It isn't. But I think what we're getting to now about, like, the onus and, like, who mm-hmm. the responsibility should be on when it comes to these feelings. Because you're right. Like, these are just other people's preconceived notions, like, projections. But also, they're whole systems. And there was, like, a tweet that we had seen before this about, like, you know, like, where you place your blame. Or, like, where you put, just, like, that responsibility. It's, like, it's not, you know, a barrier or an obstacle that you're a woman, it's that, like, we exist in the patriarchy, or it's not, you know, like, your race, it's, like, you know, these institutions of racism.
Right.
That the onus and responsibility should be put on, instead of, you know, just, like, breaking yourself down or blaming yourself just for aspects of your identity.
It's not the fault of the individual that they feel this, and the blame should not, it shouldn't even be our job to have to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the work should be towards you know,
constructing all of these things. But then you do end up feeling that way, and then you get that guilt, and then that's, I think the guilt is the worst part, honestly. It's when I know that I shouldn't feel this way, and I have no reason to feel this way, but yet I still do. Mm. And there's almost, like, just, like, a wimpiness to it, I feel, or it just feels a bit hopeless, because I'm like, you've proven to yourself time and time again, but for some reason you don't.
Yeah,
still believe
it.
And the only person, sometimes you reckon with the only person standing in your way is you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's sometimes
a
is a lot.
It's crazy.
To deal with. So, yeah.
Mm, that was a bar.
Thank you. That came from within.
I felt it.
That's what I've been journaling about lately. That came from inside.
We can wrap it up here.
No, it's
The thing that is, like, tough about reckoning with that, like, you being in your own way part is, like, while it's such an individual experience, it's one that is shared by so many, but it's not one that we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And as a result of the lack of talking about it, we often are, like, comparing ourselves to people that are feeling the same thing, and those comparisons are what motivate our, you know, the sustained feeling that I'm not doing right, I'm not doing enough, I'm not, like, in the right place, I'm not as good as Susie over there, like, I'm not, you know, and it's crazy, because it's just, like, if we just talked about it, like, to be honest, everyone has experienced this feeling at some point. Like, nobody's immune to it.
Yeah.
And if they are, like, shoot, let us know. Shoot.
That's true.
But it's like, if we, the amount of time that we spend comparing ourselves to our peers, to people that we perceive as, you know, or wish that were our peers, like, and how that is one of the motivating factors that just sort of keeps that, like, hopelessness going.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just like, I don't know how we work against it.
I don't know.
I don't know why we compare ourselves to each other in the way that we do. I don't know what the solution is.
I don't know either. Well, I think comparison is just the crux of the issue. Like, how do we stop comparing? And I don't know. Like,
it's a human emotion.
It's such a human thing. There's such an oversaturation of content as well, like an overexposure to people's lives in terms of, like, the culture even of social media that we live in, with TikTok especially.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the rise to fame of these, like, influencers, or, like, that potentiality to go, like, viral. Like, there's just so much, I think, like, success feels so tangible in this way that we've talked about with, like, internet culture, but also just, you know, you see so many people, especially if you are, like, inundated with people who don't look like you. Like, if it is, like, just, like, those influencers on your feed. That's why, like, curating, especially
a diverse following.
Diverse following, but also just, like, what you want to see.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? Like, my following is my friends. I want to see my friends. I want to get some educational content on there. But it has to be grounded in reality, I think. Otherwise, you can just compare yourself to people you don't know.
And you have no idea, like, how many takes that one thing that you're so jealous of took them, how many failures it took. And I think that's the beauty of, like, even if we're referencing back to Serena's story about feeling overshadowed by Venus, who we would never think that today, you know? And, like, the things that she had to fight to prove herself as capable of being of, even though she was winning those matches, like, it's interesting to sort of take that into our own lives and think about, like, if Serena Williams is feeling like that's an imposter sometimes, like, it's a natural human emotion. Like, if you walk in a room and everyone is wearing denim, like, you're gonna be like, shoot, did I, like, miss a memo?
Yeah.
But if we have more people in the room that have different stylistic choices, you inevitably feel more empowered to choose whatever you want to wear.
This is the, like, importance of representation.
Yeah, it's really true. Like, it's not that simple, obviously. Yeah. I don't think it's as simple as having Zendaya as a lead in a show. I don't think it's as simple as,
not
like,
again.
Yeah. Sorry, Zendaya. We don't not
we
like,
love you.
You're just so easy.
She's such an easy target.
She's right there.
No hanging fruit.
But for real, like, if we saw more options of what is possible,
mm-hmm.
whatever felt right for us, would mm-hmm. we be empowered to pursue it without questioning
Absolutely.
Whether it's valid, whether we're capable of it? Like, and that means, in twofold, that means, like, you have to see all the possibilities. You have to see not only, you know, Black women being entertainers, but also Black women in, you know, environmental justice, in a business context, in, you know, a more creative field. Like, you have to see all of those possibilities.
Yeah.
And then you won't, like, if you want to pursue something creative, you won't feel like, damn, like, is this possible? Am
mm-hmm.
I capable of it? Is this a good idea? Like, do I need to be pursuing that only one other thing I've heard about? You know,
mm-hmm.
like, the more you know, the more you feel empowered in choice.
Yeah.
And, like, when we don't give people choices,
mm-hmm.
and we present them with one choice, which I think is sometimes the issue, they go into that choice, it's not the choice for them, and
mm-hmm.
part of the imposter syndrome that they feel is the fact that, like, it's also not what they want to be doing.
No, exactly.
Like, it's not
yeah.
only not that they're capable of it, I'm sure they're capable of it, they can do it, but it's, that's not where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're not capable, but it's because we
told
choice. Them that this is what they need
exactly.
to be doing.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. That was a bar. Because I think once you're not comparing yourself to other people, or once you're not, like, striving for just this arbitrary definition of success, of, like, what a good life looks
mm-hmm.
like, you can be sure that your desires are actually coming
right.
from you.
Like,
yeah. this is what you want. And that's, like, the importance of being grounded,
mm-hmm.
I think, or being grounded in, like you're saying, like, seeing different types of people,
mm-hmm.
but also, like, getting outside of, like, the bubbles of, like, whatever
yeah.
your workspace looks like. Like, hang out with your friends,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Or have... I've been trying to live a lot slower lately,
mm.
or, like, be easier on myself and be
mm-hmm.
nicer, and I think that...
Okay, soft life.
Soft life, what can I say? Because I think that's what it takes, though, to just be, like, life is not about how much I can produce, or, like,
mm-hmm.
what my day job is, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I
yeah.
don't have to be hitting, you know, like, all of these different, like, indicators in order to
mm-hmm.
be, like, worth having a
yeah.
life, you know what I mean?
And it's interesting now, and I hadn't thought about this before, but it's, like, I feel like sometimes the feeling that we often interpret as imposter syndrome can be confused with other feelings of,
mm-hmm.
like, of passion, of purpose, of,
yeah.
you know, beyond capabilities.
Yeah.
And I feel like what you're saying is, like, we have to be able to decipher those feelings. And there
yeah.
are certain things that we need from the outside to be able to do that. But it also takes some internal work of just, like, being able to identify what you're feeling, like, do I feel like I'm not capable of this? Are there moments in my life, whether personally or, like, in which
mm-hmm.
I've seen other people accomplish this thing to tell me that it's possible?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also, like, what we've talked about before and what we'll be talking about next week is, like, is this what I want to do?
Yeah.
And so those are two, like, completely different questions,
Absolutely.
You know? Like, imposter syndrome is, like, you're not capable. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. But then there's the added question of, like, I might be capable. This might be, like, I might be more than, you know, equipped to be here. I might even be overqualified to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But is this where I'm supposed to be for me?
Right.
And I feel like imposter syndrome muddies all those things. Imposter syndrome might lead you to the wrong place where you're
mm-hmm.
capable but not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, like, not supposed to be meaning, like, that's not for you.
Absolutely.
Not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I just feel like it's... I've never thought about those things in conjunction, but I do think that they are, especially this phase in our lives. Like,
absolutely.
They're questions that we're grappling with simultaneously, and it's
mm-hmm.
important to not confuse what you're able to do, because you're able to do anything. Like,
yeah.
All you need is the right instruction.
Absolutely.
And you can take on whatever you think you might want to try,
mm-hmm.
and you fully should pursue those, even if you're not sure about if it's for you or not, because you need to do it in order to know.
Absolutely.
But it also is, like... Sometimes you gotta remind yourself, like, just because I'm capable doesn't mean I have to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that was something that I had to reckon
yeah.
with. I think that was, like, a big thing for me, especially, like, finishing up college.
Mm.
I was just like, okay, like, I was really into my potential. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I was like, if I have the capacity that I can do this thing, or, like, there's this, like, metric of success that, like, I can achieve, and it's, like, a high one, I should just go after that. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not
true.
For
who, right?
For who, for what? Like, you have to, like, really reckon and make sure that those desires are internal. But also, I think what I was thinking about as you were talking is that, especially at this point in our lives, the thing that I've been reckoning with lately is also time. And I think there's this just pressure for there to be such, like, an immediacy in, like, feeling comfortable in these spaces. I'm just like, you just got here to a certain degree. I'm like, you just graduated college. Like, just because, like, you're struggling or, like, you don't know how to do things yet, like, doesn't mean you're not meant to be in those spaces. It means that you just started.
Right. You're not supposed to be a pro immediately.
You know what I mean? And just being, again, so much easier on yourself.
Yeah.
Just being,
trusting the process.
Trust the process.
Enjoying being a novice.
Absolutely. There's so much beauty in that. In, like, learning new skills and, like, entering into spaces for the first time.
Yeah.
I think it's, once I, like, had that mindset shift, I think I felt a lot better.
Do you think it was a pressure of, like, you thought people expected you to be a pro at things? Or was it more internal? Like,
a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I think the expectations mostly came from myself.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because I wanted to be a pro.
Yeah.
I think I'm a perfectionist to a T, especially if I am passionate about it. Like, if I really care about it, like, I want
to be doing it as
much as I can, and I want to, like, you know what I mean? And also remember that I'm only one person. I think I have all of these, like, big, like, dreams and, like, desires, and, like, especially if you are competent and you have, like, a lot of different things that you want
to,
like, dip into,
yeah.
It's just, like, you're also one person, like, take it easy. Like, you don't also have to do all of those things right now.
Yeah.
Life is long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just, I don't know if there was an expectation that I would be able to do those things, but I was just like, I want to.
Yeah.
Like,
I
want to
and
be
I want it
good.
Now. Yeah.
And I want it all now.
Yeah.
Like, slow
it
down.
It don't work like that.
It doesn't.
Ever.
And I think hanging around, like, older people, again, like, this grounding of, like, people who have been through it who can be like, yo, chill out,
literally,
bro.
Like, nobody's expecting you to be a pro right now, and you shouldn't either. Like, and also the beauty and the luxury of being a novice at something and,
it's,
like,
lovely.
Trusting the process of, like, even if I don't know right now, it doesn't mean I don't have in my toolkit the things that I need to conquer this in due time. Like,
absolutely.
And whatever that due time is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and also then further, like, after you've mastered the thing or approached mastery, whatever that means for you, checking in, you know? Because sometimes it's just like, dang, I worked so hard to prove that I'm capable of this and, like, that this is something that I'm doing, and you just do it out of, like, honestly, like, mechanically, you know, like, just going through the motions because it feels like kind of what we were just talking about, but, like, checking in and just being like, is this what I still want to do? And acknowledging that those things can change, and, like, acknowledging a place that, you know, you once felt like you had to prove yourself in might not be, you know, you might have proved yourself, you might not have, and, like, when is it okay to just be like, I don't need to.
Exactly.
Like, I don't gotta do it.
That's so true.
I don't gotta do it.
At all. This, the desire to prove, I'm like, where does that come from? It comes from just feeling like you don't belong. But we talked about this, we've laughed about this before, like, the white man just being like, just come into that space like a mediocre white man
literally.
With that energy, and you can really, they just ask for whatever.
Ask for whatever.
Whatever they want, or just, like, assume that you meant to be in a space, and you do belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have the confidence, you have the energy, you just...
Run with it. And nobody will ask you.
No one will question
why.
You.
I mean, we don't have the luxury of not being questioned.
That's
which
true.
Is also something that I think causes this thought process. Like, people might and probably will question you.
Absolutely.
Like, as a black woman specifically, people will, even if you don't feel like an imposter yourself, like, will try to poke holes in your expertise and the things that you know you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, like, being able to see that. And the thought, I think the difference in the thought process has to be, like, someone's going to question you. That's inevitable.
Yeah.
Do you take it as a personal attack? Or do you think, like, aw, you're insecure.
Yeah,
like, you're trying to make me feel bad. Like,
aw,
like, that sucks for you. You know
what
I mean? Like, and I feel like for me, as soon as I was able to make that distinction of, like, that's a you issue. Like, that is a you problem. You think I'm not capable? Why did they hire me? Like, you think
absolutely.
I'm not supposed to be in this classroom? Like, how did I get accepted? Like, that's not on me to prove. If you have a question, like, take it up with registrar. Like,
that's
I don't,
right.
you know what I mean?
Anything
like,
to do with you. No, period.
And it's just that. It'll be the most shocking people that will try to make you feel like that.
Yeah.
And I think as much as we've talked about it as, like, a white supremacy patriarchal thing, I've also encountered a lot of elder black women in my life who have tried
to
make me feel that way. I don't know if it was in an effort to try to protect me from something, or, like, in an effort of, like, I know you'll get these questions anyway, so I'm trying to prepare you. But it hurts. It hurts when it comes from someone that you think is, like, you know, it, that you're using to sort of plug the imposter syndrome hole. Like, oh, like, she did it, and, like, she's gonna look out for me, and, like, she's gonna mentor me and help me. But, like, I've gotten some, like, my advisor in college, like, people that I've just been, like, you know?
Interesting.
One-liners that just will dig, and I think those are the hardest for me, because it's like, dang, if you don't see it in me, then who will?
Exactly.
But sometimes it really is, like, and it can't be an individual thing. It can't always come from within. It's not always as simple as being, like, that's a you issue. You have to have a community that can validate you, too, that can remind you of all of the things that you've done in preparation for what you're about to do. So, like, for me, when I was writing my thesis, like, I almost crumbled. She, like, I sent the first draft in, and she was just like, this is not sociology. And that hurt. I was like, I've been working on this for, like, 3 years. Like, I took all the major classes. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I just needed to hear someone else remind me of, like, no.
Yeah.
Like, just because she has this narrow view of what is and isn't doesn't mean that that has to be yours. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. Like, you don't have to agree with her, and you don't need her validation. Mm-hmm. Just remember all the, like, remember that you took all the core classes. You took all the things. Like, you've written all the papers. You've done well on those. Like, you've laid the groundwork for what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it really, sometimes those external reminders are everything. Like, because it's so easy to forget all that we've done. Mm-hmm.
Listen, that's so true. And saying it out loud really helps, too. Mm-hmm. Honestly, me and my friends lately were like, if you say anything out loud, we just gotta start talking out loud more often, because it'll, you know, wow.
Because it sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy when you say, like, the good things and the bad things. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa.
Exactly.
But no, that external validation and the community. I think my friends, especially, like, they get me in check very quickly. Like, I'll be, like, starting to doubt myself. They'll be like, girl, the hell are you doing?
Literally, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Like, get it together. You know what I mean? They'll be like, girl, stand up. And I'll be like, period, my queens, I'm so sorry. I'm like, thank you. But that's so important. And having that support. Because, again, like, we want to, you know, really, like, reinforce that this is a natural human emotion.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't, like, get yourself, like, down in the dumps if you're, like, overwhelmed.
Right.
Like, you feel like, you know, like, this happens
to
Serena Williams. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, it happens to everybody.
No one's immune to it.
Exactly. But, you know, it won't always be easy, but I think it's something that, like, once you have, like, these, like, mindset shifts or, you know, knowing that the onus isn't on you or,
it's
like,
not your fault.
Having your community, your external validation, just being like, I did the damn thing. I deserve to be here. I think it, you can start living for yourself, I think, and remove all the competition,
absolutely.
Remove, like, you know, external, you know what I mean? Like, markers,
right.
Like, as long as you know.
Exactly.
You got it.
And there's so much power in, like, the process of freeing yourself of having to answer, like, why am I feeling this way? Like, what is the reason? Like, or the guilt that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to explain the reason. You just have to be able to acknowledge it in yourself and then come up with whatever your system is for working through it. You
absolutely.
Know? Like, because sometimes we can get so bogged down in the guilt part. And, like, that's not a step that's productive. It's not a step that will take you somewhere. It's a step that will leave you where you're at and leave you to seep in that feeling and, like, will convince you of it.
Yeah.
But if you are just like, okay, this is a feeling I felt before, you can think about, oh, the last time I felt this was my freshman year of college. Like, what things did I learn after that that helped me work through it?
Yeah.
You know, what was the process of, like, shedding myself then of it? And, like, how can I use those skills that I've already used to navigate this same feeling in the past to do it again? Like, and because you can have imposter syndrome about your abilities to navigate imposter syndrome. You have to remind yourself that, like, this is not new. Like, I know this.
Yeah.
I know this feeling for me. Mm-hmm. I just got to figure out what the steps are to get out of it.
Absolutely.
And that's more than doable.
That is so doable.
Yeah.
So you got to listen to yourself. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. Recognize yourself. You got it. That's a great ending place. I think we should wrap it up there. Cool.
Wrap it up. Look
wrap
at us.
Up. Look at us go.
Recording podcast.
Period. Well, what are we loving this week, McKean? Do you have an answer? I can go first.
Okay, you go first. I'm thinking.
I'm going to a concert on Friday.
Ooh.
Do you know Loose and the Yakuza?
No.
They're like
I
a
don't
Congolese.
Even know what that second word was.
Yakuza. <Sorry. laughs> That's fair. She's a Congolese and Belgian, like, rapper and singer. She's from French.
Wow.
Very cool.
Where is it?
In Brooklyn. At Do You Know Babies All Right?
Yeah. Cute.
On Friday.
Oh,
it's
going to
be very fun.
Cute.
I'm going with some friends.
Very cute.
It's going to be fun.
Oh my god, have fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll
be
the beach the next day. I'm going to be out there.
I guess. You said she sings in French.
She's singing in French, so...
Oh,
wait,
that's
the
times?
This is a time. I don't know.
Anyways.
We got it.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Sorry. I just derailed your whole thing.
That was
the
fun.
Beach. That sounds amazing.
The beach too, you know?
Nice. What is bringing me joy? Oh my god, there's a community garden. Oh, I'm in my new apartment. Did I talk about this already?
You were moving.
Oh yeah, well, I'm officially moved in, and it's been great. So that's been cool. Mm-hmm. There's a community garden around the corner. Cute. Like, not even, like, just down the block that, like, is owned by this black lady, and she's from the Caribbean, and she's run it for 20 years, and I've been volunteering there, and it's been amazing. Like,
that's so cute.
I just love it. Like, she has this whole block, a whole city block, where she just grows vegetables.
Love.
For the people, and I just love her. She, like, cooked for me. It was cute. Like, she just made me this whole meal. She made me corn on the cob. She made me this, like, stewed rice and, like, beef thing. Like, she just
is so good.
Yeah, it was just so nice. When I first went in there, it felt so enchanting. Like, it was just like, I was didn't go in there to eat, and she was like, "Are you gonna get a plate?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "You're not gonna get a plate. Like, well, let me just make you something so you can see what you're gonna miss." And the next thing I know, I was in there for an hour. She was like, "Thank you for slowing down with me. Like, thank you for pausing to, like, appreciate the food and, like, build community over." And I was like, "Oh,
that's so cute. I gotta go do Bed Stuy.
No, really, come visit any Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3. We could go."
I will, actually.
Yeah, actually.
That's
seriously, yeah, that's anytime. She does it until October.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I love her.
Okay, period. Mm-hmm. Well,
shout out Farmer Young.
Shout out our early 20s. We just begin to get to such wacky little adventures.
I love it. That's
what just, every time we recap, about. We just have the silliest stories with each other. I like
as
that.
As we should. I'm looking forward to it next.
Well, that is all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, this conversation.
Yeah. Much needed. Yeah. Glad. Hopefully you guys took a nugget of wisdom or helpfulness to navigate imposter syndrome in the future. Yeah, we have another episode dropping next week.
We do. And in the meantime, you can keep up with us on Instagram at Black Girl Blueprint, on Twitter at Big Girl Blueprint, TikTok as well at Black Girl Blueprint, and that's it.
Yeah, give us a little review, give us a little 5 stars, let us know what you guys want to hear, what questions you have.
So you can DM us too, an email.
We could be homies. Yeah. I got one DM from a girl, and like, I follow her now, and we be swiping up on each other's stories, so if you're a listener, we could also be besties.
We could all be besties. I think that'd be great.
We should hang out too.
We should be chatting. Listen, if you're NYC, link up. Garden at 9 a.m. Everyone,
hold up. Come on, come to bedside. Anyways.
All right, well, we will see you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.